News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
Now, of course, today is Budget Day, and we are going to be hearing throughout the day here on the station the budget as we hear it happening. But of course, we know much of what is going to be in it already. And for more on this, I'm joined now by Fergal O'Brien, IBEX Director of Policy and Public Affairs. Good morning to you, Fergal. What you've heard so far, the biggest giveaway in the history of state. We had Ger Howland on the show yesterday. He was describing it. I said it was one for everyone in the audience. He said actually it's two for everyone in the audience. As a member of the Fiscal Advisory Council, are you dismayed?
Good morning, Ciara. I don't have any responsibility for the Fiscal Advisory Council, thankfully, but we're always happy to offer our advice from a business perspective.
I beg your pardon. I've given you the IBEC. I've completely mistitled you. IBEX Director of Policy and Public Affairs.
No, you're fine. Thanks, Ciara. We have a lot of views, obviously, in terms of how we can use the opportunity now of exceptional resources at our disposal. And, you know, there'll be lots of talk of all the individual measures throughout today, Ciara, and it's just really important that we do take stock where we are in terms of the scale of the economy and the opportunity we have. 10 years ago, Ciara, we had 40 billion revenue coming into the state in tax. We saw from the white paper last Friday evening from the Department of Finance, we will have 105 billion in tax revenue this year. So the transformation of the economy has been spectacular in the last 5 years. And by far the single biggest issue we have and the issue that we need to see a plan to address in the budget today is the growing pains and the capacity constraints in the economy.
Okay.
We talk to businesses in all sectors, all sizes, all around the country. And the one issue they keep coming back to is we're now becoming less competitive as an economy because of capacity constraints, because of the housing, the energy, the water, the transport challenges. And today is the opportunity
and on
to
that
set
basis,
a funded plan to address those
Fergal,
issues.
Was there things you would have liked to have seen in today's budget that might have addressed some of those constraints, some of those things that are holding us back that maybe aren't there? I mean, we're throwing money at the wall, but are there aspects that you think might have been more helpful or a different way of approaching this?
Look, let's see the details as they come out over the course of the day. The first thing to note here is going to be the scale of ambition. Again, you know, business is creating incredible revenue for the state. You take corporate and business, corporate and income tax alone this year, 70 billion, right? We know that we're going to see close to maybe 20 billion put into infrastructure priorities, right? But the resources alone, of course, are not going to fix these issues. We're going to have to see a lot of reform being delivered. Shane just mentioned the planning system in your previous conversation. That legislation is at the point of being completed. Those reforms and the reforms of how we do and how we deliver projects and the ambition to bring these projects to fruition is really what we need to see. And I think that's actually going to be the big takeaway from today's budget. We'll forget a lot of the individual measures and 6 or 12 months' time, but this can be known as a budget that really set a high bar in terms of ambition to provide world-class infrastructure for the country. And now we got to go and do it and do it effectively.
Okay, before I let you go, changes to the VAT rate. Obviously, hospitality has been, and we are going to be talking later on about Lennox's chipper closing in Cork. Hospitality would argue very strongly about the 9% VAT rate. Does IBEC have a position on VAT?
Yeah, Ciara, we've put a really large amount of costs into all businesses in the last 3 years. Government's own estimates, right, are that their policy measures, just affecting the labour market, just affecting the cost of employment, are adding between 20 to 30% with the hospitality experience economy and the retail sectors, but also manufacturing, the most impacted sectors. We're going to have to see some measures today to offset those costs. We do know, Ciara, that government is going to release some of the surplus in the National Training Fund, which is the employer's contribution for upskilling and training in the economy. Schemes like that could help on competitiveness, but we want to see what else the minister has to say today about the cost of doing business, because there are lots of businesses that are really struggling at the moment because our competitiveness is under a lot of pressure.
Look, thank you very much for joining us this morning. That is Fergal O'Brien, their IBEX Director of Policy and Public Affairs.
Michael O'Flynn of O'Flynn Construction Group. Will there be anything in the budget today, do you think, to help us build more houses?
Well, obviously, it's been well flagged that the Help to Buy scheme is being extended, which is really important and which will help maintain the level of housing that we are currently at. Will there be anything in the budget to help build more? I'm not sure. I don't know. If we don't start facing up to the infrastructural deficits, and perhaps this is a good time with the windfall gains that are there, to actually strategically plan the future of housing.
Okay, let me rephrase the question. Rephrase the question, Michael. What would you like to see in the budget?
Well, I'd like to see money set aside to put in critical infrastructure that will enable zoned land to be built on, because we are not doing anything like the number of housing we should be doing.
We're spending $5 billion, I think, on housing, aren't we? That seems like a lot of money.
No, but it's only a fraction of what's needed. We have to look at what's required. You see, people talk about what's being done, but the requirement is at least double what we're doing at the moment. And if you're half doing your job every day, Shane, you wouldn't be doing such a great job. We are half supplying what's required in this country. We are not doing a good job, and we can't do it unless there is a change of mindset in the government and in the departments towards providing the right amount of money for infrastructure. We, of course, have issues around zoning and facing
and capacity. Is the capacity there to do it?
Yeah, well, I'm just going to mention the numbers that are required. I'm hoping shortly with the National Planning Framework Review, we will actually begin to agree as a country what's needed. Capacity is a very good question. The industry has never failed in the past. We built 80,000, 90,000 houses at one stage, overbuilt. I'm satisfied that if we are to go from where we are to double it, I think we'll have challenges. I think we will need help. I think we lost a decade of people coming into the industry. But I believe the capacity is there and will be there. But it will call for companies in the house building sector to be more resourceful. And we have to, you know, use off-site manufacturing more. We have to change our ways of doing things. But to answer your question, I think we can do it.
Michael, just very briefly, just to finish, can you understand how a home would be estimated to cost €200,000, like the modular homes the government was planning to build, and would end up costing €442,000?
Well, I know it's very topical this morning. Look, it's impossible to understand the changes in prices. We sell houses, we sell them at fixed prices. But perhaps they were underestimated at the first place, in the first instance. I'm very concerned, and have been for a number of years, of the over-expectation of what modular housing can do. Off-site manufacturing is one thing, but modular housing was seen as a silver bullet. It's not, because a lot of the costs involved in housing are still incurred, whether it's modular or traditional. The big advantage in modular was speed, but unfortunately, that hasn't transpired. So I think there was an over-expectation and probably a gross underestimating as to what modular would cost there. And I think reality has come home. I don't know the detail of the ones that have been described, and I want to make that clear. There may be a particular delay or circumstances, but it's hard to understand, to Shane, to answer your question.
Michael Flynn of the Flynn Construction Group, thank you for talking to News Talk Breakfast.
And we're joined now by Frances Byrne, Director of Policy at Early Childhood Ireland. Good morning to you, Frances. Two double children's allowance payments between now and Christmas, increased funding for childcare, additional millions in targeted measures for children from deprived backgrounds. You must be pleased. A lot of money here in this budget for children.
Well, we wait to see the detail later today. Good morning, Ciara. From Early Childhood Ireland's point of view, we well understand why parents would be delighted to receive one-off payments. But we hope that's not all that they're going to hear about later today. We have been on your show and others before talking about the long waiting lists throughout the country, particularly for very young children. We need to see a new investment target set. This government can claim to have spent more than any other government in history on early years and school age care. They reached over $1 billion last year. The bad news is that we need at least another $2 to $3 billion to be on track with other European countries, to address those capacity issues and to address low pay for 30,000 highly qualified staff, some with qualifications as high as master's degrees, others with 10, 20 years experience working in settings.
Frances,
so we want to hear some of that today.
Is there anything that you would have liked to have heard in the kites being flown on this budget that you haven't heard? Is there anything that you would have particularly thought was useful that isn't there?
I think some of the things that parties have been predicting will be in their manifestos. Early Childhood Ireland has been saying, let's start that process now. There's no government party there's no political party that is opposed to investing more in early years and school age care. So we're very confident that if the government was to announce the beginnings of a 5-year plan with a new investment target, the next government, whoever makes it up, will take up that baton, if you will. Everybody knows that we're way behind our European contemporaries. We need this. We need this so that children can have access to high quality care and education. We need this so that parents, staff and providers can have certainty. There's no reason why the current government couldn't build on the work that they've done and announce a new investment target today and a new 5-year plan, which would be transformative for 330,000 children.
You never know, Frances, because it certainly would be, I suspect, a vote catcher if they could sort out childcare for people. They're all about electioneering in this budget. There's no doubt about it. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. That is Frances Byrne, their Director of Policy at Early Childhood Ireland.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.